Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Intimacy Podcast for the Million Dollar Man. It's your host, Rhonda Farr. How are you guys doing today? I am here to talk to you about what it's like to work with me one-on-one. Also, this is just a little teaser. I'm not going to talk about this today really at all, except to say that it's going to be coming later this year. I am going to try a pilot program of groups. I am not sure if there's an interest in men who would be willing to learn emotional intimacy in a group setting. I have never offered it myself before, so I thought, why not? My schedule is growing. I'm getting more and more people on my one-on-one list, and I thought, why not create a container for men who would like to do this in a group? That way they can have a cohort, they can maybe network a little bit with each other, but also so I can serve more people. And when I say serve more people, definitely I want to serve the high-achieving men who are in my audience. But really my goal in doing this business is to create connection, not only with the high-achieving men and the people in their personal lives that they love and care for, but men and women and society as a whole. I'm sure it's no secret to you that sometimes high-achieving men, men in general, can get a little bit of a bad rap these days. And I want to say that I understand why that happens sometimes. Certainly, there is a reason for that occasionally. But I also see behind that curtain, and I see some really, really good men in the world. And if we can just create a little bit more awareness for everyone involved, it is my opinion that we can raise the connection as a whole. So that was a long way to introduce this podcast episode. Today, I'm not really reading from a script. I'm sharing lots of insights about what it's like to work with me. The first thing you need to know up front is that I do subscribe to the idea that intimacy is more about tolerating how it feels to be vulnerable and honest, and tolerating how it feels for your partner to be vulnerable and honest right back to you. So a lot of people think intimacy is more about like this hot, steamy, romantic thing. And I do think it can be hot and steamy and super spicy. But if we take out this piece of emotional connection, emotional intimacy, we take out the opportunity to grow a deeper kind of intimacy physically, emotionally, spiritually, all the things. It's harder to grow that deeper connection if we don't have that ability to tolerate our own honesty and our partner's ability to be honest back toward us. So if we all had this capability, it's my opinion that it would change the way the world looks at relationships as a whole. If we all had this ability to be more honest and tolerate what it's like to be honest with ourselves first and then share that with other humans, it would seriously change everything, the collective connection and consciousness of the world. That is my opinion. It's sort of a simple concept, actually, but it's just not very easy. And the reason it isn't easy is because of our conditioned patterns. And this is what we work on in my one-on-one coaching program. We work on recognizing those conditioned patterns that we've been repeating for decades, usually. We want to know why we repeat them. We want to know where they came from, how they served us, how they helped us for a time. They worked for most of us in some areas of our lives. And then what happens is when something works for us and we kind of get used to that pattern, we start blindly trying to repeat those patterns everywhere. And as we know, we've talked about this on the podcast before, what was once adaptive in our childhood or what is very helpful in our career or our job is often maladaptive and unhelpful in romantic relationships and in our close familial relationships. Sometimes that's with our kids, our parents, our siblings, whoever it might be. So in my coaching practice, it's super important to me that we identify your patterns, the conscious and the subconscious patterns. And after we start to uncover those, we'll want to let go of the shame and the self-blame that often comes with the awareness. We're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize I was doing that. And then what many of my clients will do are start to feel really terrible and spiral into shame. I want to walk you through this process and teach you how to be aware of your patterns, have some compassion for why they're there, and not spiral. then we'll want to actively practice using tools and skill sets to help us release those old patterns and create new ones that we choose. Basically, we're unlearning what we've been repeating, sometimes often actually, subconsciously. We're going to let go of those default patterns that are no longer serving us, and then we're going to create new ways of relating to the people we love. And especially, we want to create new ways of connecting and relating to ourselves, okay? That's what I call self-intimacy. The reason, I'll talk more about this in a moment, but the reason we want to develop that self-intimacy is, how can we create deep, intimate connection with another person if we don't even know ourselves? How can we share that part of us? That's something that many of us miss. We're like, oh, we want to feel deeply connected and known and seen by another person, but we don't even know how to articulate our own vulnerability and truth. So a typical consult for me looks something like this. I'll get a potential client on the phone. They'll say, hey, this is what's going on in my marriage. They'll often want me to be very aware of what's going on for their wife. They'll want often for me to tell them how they can change so their wife will respond differently. Here's what I want you to know about that. It makes sense why you would want that. Many, many of my current clients who are amazing, who I love working with, start their consult calls that way. But we cannot approach this work with the intent of her changing. If we start our work together with the intent that we will be able to change ourselves so she will respond differently to us, then we are starting off in a place that is disempowering. And the reason this is disempowering is what, and this is one of the things I'll teach you in our one-on-one coaching program, is you cannot be in charge of another person's behavior. I know sometimes we think we're that powerful and that if we just say it just right or act just right, then we can change their response to us. Now, we do have an effect on their behaviors, but we cannot control them. Sometimes they're going to be in a mood. They are dealing with their own old patterns and their own ways of being in the world that are probably now maladaptive. And if you think that your progress with me is going to suddenly make her the wife that you've always wanted her to be, you're going to get really, really frustrated with the work and you're going to be exhausted because, number one, it doesn't usually work that way. And number two, I don't want you to approach it that way anyway, because we want you to become the best version of yourself. You are the one that you spend the most time with. You are the person you can't escape. Emotional intimacy, like I mentioned earlier, becomes the container for deeper intimacy of all types. And when you do the work for yourself and you develop that self-intimacy, you start to become more free. You start to feel differently just on your own. Now, of course, we want to bring that over and develop some skills and have some things in our toolbox that allow us to share that with our partner. We are relational beings, and I will teach you how to do that. It's just that we have to create that self-intimacy first, so then that becomes the foundation of the relational intimacy. Here's another thing that comes up on consults a lot. My clients will present with their pain point being sexual intimacy. Now listen, usually the clients I work with, they don't come to me knowing this, but it's not about sex. Sometimes it could be. There could be a physiological issue or maybe some repercussions from some severe abuse in one of the partner's backgrounds. And if that's the case, I want you to know, I will tell you that up front on the call. I am not a trauma therapist. I am not a sex therapist per se. I am more of an emotional intimacy guru. But I'm going to tell you on the call, like, if this is truly a sex problem, I'm not going to be a good fit for you. And I'll be very, very honest about that. For most of the clients I work with, this is more about creating more emotional EQ. Many of the people that I work with, they'll come on this consult call with me and they know a lot of fancy words. Like, they have these words memorized. If you know the definitions of differentiation or self-confrontation or self-confronting and self-soothing and pressuring to grow and solid sense of self, yada, yada, yada. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's what I want you to know. There's a huge difference in knowing the definitions of these words and actually being able to live these words in action. I wish I had some of my clients on this podcast episode right now. And in fact, maybe I will invite some of them on, those who may feel comfortable. But they will tell you, oh my gosh, we knew the definition of these words and it still slips up on them. It still creeps up on them from time to time when they're like, get a little confused about it. But they're like, actually doing this work and feeling the difference when you're embodying differentiation or self-confrontation, it's night and day difference. We can't just know the definitions. We have to be able to actually utilize these skill sets. In fact, many of my clients will also use these terms against their partner and against themselves. They'll use these definitions to become sort of analytical about the relationship. They'll start making these assessments and being really critical about everything that's wrong. So for example, they'll be like, well, I think that you are being immature and you're not self-confronting and I'm just trying to hold on to my sense of self by being honest with you and telling you that you are being emotionally immature right here, right? They're being very analytical about it and being very critical instead of putting into action the skills of confronting themselves, right? They want to be analytical with these terms instead of self-intimacy. So when we stop being so analytical and accusatory toward our partner, that's where we get to communicate our felt experience. When we uncover those internal parts of ourselves, we can then learn to communicate more honestly about our felt experience, not in such a critical or derogatory way. And that is what we do in my one-on-one coaching program. This is where true intimacy comes in. Remember what we said in the beginning, first learning how to tolerate what it's like to look at the more obscure parts of ourselves, then tolerating what it's like to forgive and let go of those parts of ourselves that we haven't wanted to look at. And from that place, we can decide what we want to share and then practice tolerating what it's like to let our partner know us in that more vulnerable awareness. We are not using these skills against ourselves to beat ourselves up or against our partner to tell them everything that we don't like. Instead, I want you to think about this as we're learning how to communicate from a more solid sense of self, our felt experience, and then inviting them to be able to do the same. A big part of this is actually unlearning. We do learn some tools, but we also have to let go of some of the old patterns and unlearn some of the ways that we've been thinking about relationships and vulnerability up to this point. I know the dynamic of the high achiever so well. You guys, I've been doing this for a while. I know you're usually married to somebody who feels like you're dragging them along, kicking and screaming sometimes. Even my clients will say, it just feels like dead weight sometimes, right? When you're trying to pull them along. I know you feel like you're the one who keeps the family moving, but you also don't feel much appreciation in return. I know that it's more about being wanted and feeling desired than her just giving in or consenting to occasional duty sex. I know that doesn't do it for you. I also know on the flip side of this, that she often feels like a disappointment to you and that she can never measure up to your standards. I know how difficult that is for her too. She often feels unseen and unheard and like her voice doesn't matter as much. Many of the wives will tell me, it just feels like he tells me how it is. This is his perspective, and he thinks I should just agree. So he tells me how it is for both of us. And you know what? To be fair, she may feel overly sensitive at times and be struggling with knowing when to stand up for herself and when that maybe she thinks it's not even worth the fight that she's tired of having, that she feels like she always loses anyway. Your insecurities are playing off of her insecurities, and it keeps you guys on the hamster wheel of exhaustion. I'm probably going to tell you some things that you don't want to hear. I'm not going to solve all of your problems for you. I can't do that, even if I wanted to. But what I will do is show you how to create a life that you choose, not just keep repeating those old patterns on default. Now, I won't say that yours is a typical dynamic, but in my work, I do see it a lot. I was on a consult call recently with a client that I'm actually working with now, and he said to me, he's like, can you just tell me, am I like sliced bread? Is it that simple? Do you see this all the time? It was almost like he wanted me to tell him that it was the most common thing in the world. Here's what I'll say. There are components in this dynamic that are kind of like sliced bread. Like we see it a lot. It's pretty common, pretty typical. However, that being said, you are my curriculum. Each one of you is so unique. Each one of you have a little bit of a different feel to what you're going through, a little bit of a different twist to your dynamic. Your partner's a little bit different. You have different circumstances. So I do not have like the handbook play-by-play. Although in my group offering, I will have that. I'll have some very specific structured lessons, and then we'll do some dialed in coaching that gets a little bit more specific. But in my one-on-one, you are the curriculum. I will modify and adjust everything to your specific needs, because this is where the rubber meets the road. When we help you learn for your specific situation, your personality type, your patterns, your conditioning, what is best for you as you take a good look at your past, as you unlearn some of those things, and as you develop the skill set to be more relational and vulnerable and intimate. Okay? We meet together once per week for about 5 months, give or take, depending on what time of year it is and vacations and all that. But it's about 5 months. And I have tried to do this in less amount of time. And it just seems better for most of my clients if we meet for about 20 sessions. Does that seem like a lot to you? Maybe it does. It seems like a lot for some of my clients at first. And then when they get into it and they get started, it really is mind-blowing how awesome this work is as we build on concepts from week to week. So we meet together once a week. We pick the same day, the same time each week because it works best for all of our schedules. You will have access to me via an application on your phone called Voxer, where you can actually leave me voice messages or send me text messages. And you can say, hey, Rhonda, remind me of what you said, or will you send me a video of like a recap of that concept, or hey, I tried this and it didn't seem to work, or I fell short, or I still have questions. When we can meet in the middle or in the interim of our work together and actually discuss, we don't actually meet, but we can leave messages. It's really helpful, again, in the action of all these skills. We're not just memorizing. We're not just learning terms. We are literally putting it into action. Now, the pricing, which is something that many of you want to know, falls in the range of typical therapy, except I don't take insurance. My pricing does vary a little bit. It increases over time as my schedule gets more full. So I'm not going to give you the exact pricing, but you can just Google how much does therapy cost. And my pricing is right in that range, except I don't take insurance. Here is what I'll tell you. My coaching program is way cheaper than that Tesla many of you guys are driving. What is it with the Teslas? You guys, most of you love them. Some of you might not, but I will tell you that the work we do together and the peace and the satisfaction that you get of creating this new relationship, not only with your partner, but with yourself, is going to last way longer than the car you're driving, okay? So I definitely think it's an amazing investment. It has literally changed my life. I would not be teaching something that I didn't fully believe in. Here's the last thing I want you to know. You don't need me. None of you need me. You have a great life in lots of ways. But if you want to create something more, something deeper than just this external validation, I invite you to a consult call to see if we might be a good fit to work together in the near future.